In this episode, I'll show you the surprising secrets of making $1 billion a day from your couch, in your underpants, with no hard work or effort of any kind. All you have to do is listen and, of course, buy my new online course, How to Sell Online Courses for $3,000, which today only will be available for the outrageously low price of $2,999.99. Hey, it's Matthew, and this is the Matthew Kent Show. Okay, so obviously you figured out that the title of this episode and the intro were a spoof. And if you haven't, well, I don't know, maybe I really do have a $3,000 online course to sell you. I don't know. I don't even know what to say right now. But just to remind you where we are, where we've been, and where we're going. So this podcast essentially exists for me to share with you how I've been learning and growing in living the good life. And then specifically with a focus on, you know, becoming healthy and wealthy and wise. And we started with wealthy. And so we've been talking about money. We've been talking about personal finance. We've been talking about this personal finance master concept of spend less than you earn and invest the difference. And so there's sort of three pillars there. You got to spend less, and that's frugality. You got to earn more, and that's income generation. And then you got to invest the difference, and that's investing. We've talked about spending less. We're talking now about earning more. And in the future, we're going to talk about investing the difference. And we talked last week about how the advantage of earning more as opposed to cutting your cost is that it can lead to exponential gains. That it's hard in the beginning, but then it can potentially get easier over time. And one of the things that I think is important to remember about earning more is that it basically always is going to take a lot of effort. You're going to see little to no results in the short term, the immediate term, and then slowly you're going to accrue the results over time. They're going to build, and in some cases, they're even going to compound. We talked about this idea of, you know, you get a raise, and so let's say you go get a $10,000 raise, and it's like, well, usually your company pays cost of living raises, so if you get that $10,000 raise or promotion now, your next raise is going to be a little bit bigger, and the one after that, and the one after that, and so on. But I think I've really even undersold it, the case a little bit. You know, anytime it comes to making money, it comes down to this idea of you're going to have to front load the effort. You're going to have to put in work initially that's unpaid, that doesn't increase your income, and that eventually you're going to reward from it. You're going to reap the benefits, if you will. And I think this is important because this is sort of the master key of all of self-improvement. So we've talked about the master key of personal finance, spend less than you earn and invest the difference. The master key to all self-improvement, all self-help, in just a few words, is basically this. Make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And you could simplify it even more to two words. You could just say delay gratification, but I like my version. So we're going to stick with that. Make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And it's like this with anything worthwhile that you might think about doing. So if you think about personal finance, one of the big concepts that's in vogue right now is FIRE, which has got a great name. It's actually an acronym, Financial Independence Retire Early. Now, I'm a big fan of work, so retire is sort of optional in my book, but I think financial independence is a great concept that you don't need to rely on anyone, on an employer, on anyone or anything, that you just have enough money to live off of and to keep living off of for the rest of your life. I think it's wonderful. We're going to talk, obviously, more about financial independence in this podcast, but it's a great example because, you know, hey, you're not spending this money that you're investing. You're making a short-term sacrifice to win a long-term prize because escaping the rat race is an enormous long-term prize. We just talked a little bit about getting a raise, and again, that's another example, personal finance example, of this master principle, which is if you're angling for a raise or a promotion, it's not going to happen immediately. You're going to have to justify why you deserve it. And so you're going to have to make sacrifices to put in some effort at your job. And initially, you're not going to get anything. Another good example here is weight loss. So, you know, I live in the United States of America. Probably most of the audience lives in the United States of America. And actually, I've seen the stats. So about half the audience lives in the United States of America. Those who don't, like, listen, either your country is basically just as bad as ours is, or you're getting there. So you're not off the hook. But I mean, we all know there's an obesity epidemic, and there's, you know, health problems that are associated with that, you know, metabolic syndrome and various risk factors for diseases such as Alzheimer's, cancer, type 2 diabetes, heart disease. They all increase as the waist circumference goes up, if you will. When it comes to weight loss, I mean, you know, obviously you're at your heaviest at the beginning of your weight loss journey, and you're at your lightest at the end of it, hopefully, if you did it right. I guess you might like fail and go the other way. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, you're going to put in a lot of short-term sacrifices to win this long-term prize of, you know, you get back in shape, you're healthy. And then it's even the longer-term prizes that are most significant, right? It's reducing your risk of those diseases of civilization that I just mentioned. But also, you know, this master concept, I mean, again, it applies to everything in self-improvement, self-help. So like learning a new skill, learning a language, or, you know, a programming language or an actual language, or just any kind of new skill or anything, it's toughest in the beginning. And then as you sort of build that muscle memory, that memory, that ability to process the information automatically, you know, as Daniel Kahneman would talk about it, you switch it from your effortful mental processing, your focus, your concentration, he calls that system two, to your sort of system one intuition. That's learning a new skill, and you have to make short-term sacrifices where it's really difficult to win the long-term prize of it becoming automatic. Another example here, by the way, would be marriage. I haven't talked at all about marriage on this podcast, I don't think. That's kind of weird. Like, listen, it's great we're talking about personal finance. Your money's important. And your money's important to your marriage. So I guess indirectly we're talking about marriage. We're going to start talking about your health. Your health is important. We're going to talk about, you know, just general wisdom and, you know, reading books and keeping a journal and all of these kind of things. Those are all important. Marriage is more important. I mean, if I had to pick one thing, like quality of living a good life, marriage is way more important. So, I don't know, maybe I'm going to start talking more about it. I've got a bunch of episodes lined up for through the end of the year. I've created an editorial calendar. I've got episodes planned out. Maybe at the start of next year, we should start a series on marriage, because, you know, like, listen, that one might get a little bit weird, because it might sound like I guess I'm giving you life advice with everything, though, but it's just, it doesn't sound as offensive when you listen to a stranger on the internet, on a podcast, tell you about, you know, how you should invest your money. And it does feel a little bit more personal when they tell you, here's what you should do in your marriage. But listen, again, it's more important. But for right now, we're just going to stick with the fact that it's a really great example of the master principle of self-improvement, which is make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And so you make the sacrifice in getting married to give up, you could call it, your freedom, and you get this long-term prize of, you know, love and commitment and this relationship that's better than any relationship that you'll ever have in your entire life. And then, of course, there's sacrifices within marriage. You know, to make a good marriage, you know, you often have to forego your own personal desires to to strengthen the marriage, to serve the other person, to, put their needs before your own. So I think, all of these things are really good examples, and we could come up with more examples, but I mean, hopefully I've made the point clear here. One of the keys to life is this master principle of self-improvement, which is make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And if you are able to do this just in general, you're going to win. So coming back to this idea from the intro of making $1 billion a day from your couch in your underwear, we're going to talk about an idea that has been extremely popular on the internet the last several years. And it's one of these buzzwords. It's this idea of passive income. So can you create passive income? Is there even such a thing as passive income? And let's start there. And I think the real truth is that most passive income is overstated. It would be better termed semi-passive income. Now, that doesn't mean it's not worth pursuing. We're going to talk about it in a second. But real passive income, as far as I can tell, there's one category of real passive income, and it doesn't need a new term passive income to describe it. It already had a term, and it's just what we would call investment income. And investment is extremely important to personal finance. We're going to talk about it more in the coming weeks here. But basically, the idea is, hey, you need your money to start making money for you. And so when you invest your money, eventually, once you have enough saved up, the money starts making a good amount of money on its own. And this is the whole concept of financial independence in general, is when your money makes enough money for you to live off of, right? So you have this large amount of capital invested somewhere, let's say the stock market, and it's earning money, and you just live off the money that your money makes, and you don't need to earn money at all. And again, this is passive because you're not doing any work to earn the money. You're just having your money be invested. You're not taking it all out because you took all the money out of the stock market. Your money would stop making money, right? But it's your money that's making money. You're not making money. Now, even this, we call it passive income. There's going to be some work involved. It's not going to be a ton of work, but you have to manage things. You have to think about like tax implications, and you have to manage maybe the occasional rebalancing of your portfolio, because maybe I said stocks, but maybe you have stocks and bonds or something like that. And there's work to it. And you have to actually go and tell the, like make the withdrawals and things like that. So there's work to it, but really we can call this passive income. Now, obviously, the downside of this is investment income requires investment capital, right? So it's a way of making money. It's like, hey, I've got this great way for making money. It involves putting a lot of money into it. And you're like, well, that's not really what I had in mind. Exactly. And that's why this is a super long-term game to win a super long-term prize of financial independence. And in the short term, we're more looking for a way. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be socking money away, investing it for the future. But we'd like to find a way in the short term to substitute sweat equity for equity. Anyways, we want the ability to trade some time for money, and to do so in such a way that maybe we can create some other form of passive income for ourselves. So here's where I'm going to refer you back to before the long hiatus this podcast took back in 2019. One of the initial episodes that I did was, I think it was called, Have You Ever Actually Mastered the Basics of Making Money? And in it, I argued that there's only one way to make money, and that's by selling something. Everybody's selling something. If you have a 9-to-5 job, you're selling your time to your employer. If you have a business, then you're selling whatever your business sells. It might be a product, or it might be a service, or it might be somebody else's product and service, and you just get a commission or whatever. But everybody's selling something. I even use the example of, I know this guy. He's the pastor of a church on a college campus. So because it's a college campus, 90% of the the congregation are college students who are all broke as a joke and have no income and are, in debt, student loans, that kind of thing. So basically nobody tithes, or maybe a very small percentage of the congregation tithe. And he's part of this missions organization where they pay him a salary, but in order for them to pay him a salary, he actually has to go out and he has to, they call it raising support. So he has to meet with people and say, here's what I'm doing. I'd like you to make monthly donations, basically. And the reason I brought him up in the episode is because his son was like, well, my dad makes money without selling something. You know, he works for this church, gets donations. And I'm like, your dad has gone on more sales calls than anyone I've ever known. Like literally multiple times a year to, as people, supporters of his drop off, he has to go out and raise more support. Or if they want to give him a raise, he doesn't just get a raise. He has to go raise support for the raise. So multiple times a year, he goes on sales calls. He doesn't call them sales calls, but that's what he's doing. He's selling his mission, and he's selling himself to these potential donors to get them to donate, right? They wouldn't donate if he was like, oh, I want to drink beer and lie on my couch. Right, they're donating because they're like, oh yeah, we want these college kids to have a good church, and we believe in what you're doing. So here we buy into your mission, and here's some money. Now, I've always been scared of that, to be honest, and I shouldn't be, and you shouldn't be. It's a scary thing, that there's like a certain safety to like 9-to-5 jobs and just, hey, I'm just getting paid just for showing up, and like, hey, I can just show up, right? And then maybe if I overperform, I get a raise. But, any kind of sales and is sort of like it's scary because it's like if you don't perform well, you won't make any money. Now, again, you're selling yourself no matter what. And the sales pitch for a 9-to-5 job happens at the interview. So it's nice because you get over the scary part and then you think, okay, let me just coast on that one interview for as long as I can. And I think the truth is, again, and it's this master principle, it's like the more that you expose yourself to that fear, the more that you expose yourself to that, the active aspects of selling, the more you'll win in the long term. Now, anyways, we have this idea of, okay, the only way to make money is selling. And one of the things I proposed in that episode was, hey, we talk in personal finance about investing money. What about investing time? Instead of spending your time trading time for money, why don't you invest your time into creating something you can sell besides time? And so by now, hopefully you're starting to see the connection come in between that episode and this one. When we talk about creating passive income, we're talking about creating something online, preferably, because there's lots of automation online, although you can do this even in the real world. It just involves hiring people to work for you, so you have to have a venture that's profitable enough to support both you and at least one other person, and then you have them do it for you. But it's this idea of, it's going to take a while to create something that can sort of run on autopilot. But is it even possible to do this is still a question that's on the table. And so after the ad break, we're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to talk about some of my efforts into creating passive income. We're going to talk about some of my successes and my failures, because I have both. The successes aren't huge life-changing successes, but they are successes. And my failures, I think, are instructive too. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so first let's talk about my current project that I'm working on, that hopefully results eventually in passive income. And that is my blog. And we're going to use this just to illustrate the concept of what passive income might mean and how you might get there. So here's the deal. My blog, moneythesimpleway.com, personal finance blog, has made no money. It's only been out for 3 months, but it's made no money. In fact, you could say that it's made negative money. So when you start a blog, there's some expenses. And one of the expenses is registering a domain. That's fairly cheap, like 10 to 20 bucks, depending on if you add any of those add-ons. And then there's what you would call web hosting. So if you think of the domain address is basically like the physical address of your website, it's like the address. But then the web hosting is like your monthly rent, and it's you always gotta pay that. So I think it was $356 this year that I've paid so far. So I paid for a course. It was like $99 that helped me figure out all the technical aspects and how to set stuff up. And I could have saved that money by just doing the research online myself. But this course, offered some other stuff about, SEO, and sometimes it is helpful to just, pay for convenience. And so I paid that. The web hosting is sort of the most expensive part. Especially because, it's not like you save money instead of paying it every month. I don't even know if they let you pay it every month, but it's like you could pay it every year, or you could pay like, hey, I'm going to pay it for 3 years, and you save a few dollars a month. And so if you really are playing a long-term game and you're thinking to yourself like, yeah, this is not something that I'm experimenting with, this is something that I'm going to commit to, it makes sense to pay for 3 years of web hosting, which is like several hundred dollars. So way over half, I would say, of that $356, which is the total, was web hosting, basically. So what's the plan with the website? How do these things work? And it works something like this. I have a content calendar that I've created for myself where I've found a bunch of keywords that people are searching for on Google, and then I have lists of just different posts that I want to write that I think are helpful and that I think teach things. And so I've written posts on like asset allocation, and I've written posts on the 4% rule and investing, and I've written posts on some of the things that we've talked about on this podcast, and I link them all together. I think, so as of right now, I'm recording this in early June of 2021, and my first post was published in April. So, I've been doing this about 3 months, and or 2 months, or however long it's been, and I've done about about 2 months, and I've done 41 posts that I've published. A couple more that are, finished in their drafts, but I haven't published them yet. So about 41 different articles, and eventually, but not yet, Google is going to say like, hey, these are some pretty good articles that directly answer a lot of queries that people are putting into Google. So maybe we should put this website, these articles up at the top near, the front page near the top of when people search for some of these search terms. And that's the plan for getting traffic to my site. And then once I get traffic, one of the main ways that I'll monetize will be, put up ads. And I don't like ads, and ads are kind of annoying, but it's a decent way to make money. But here's the thing. That flywheel is going to take a long time to get turning. How long? Well, from what I've heard, Google really hates new websites, really hates them. So, basically in the first 6 months, I'm not expecting really any traffic to my website at all, other than like if you're curious and you go to the website because I mentioned on the podcast, or I tell somebody, that's the kind of traffic I would expect. But, from Google, from Yahoo, from DuckDuckGo, from, Bing, from any of these other search engines, I would expect a trickle and maybe even just no traffic whatsoever. That's what I'm expecting for 6 months. And then eventually I'm thinking that things are going to start to turn around. and that I'm going to reap long-term rewards out of it. Well, you know, let's think about it though. Once the flywheel gets turning, once Google says, okay, we like your website, we're going to start ranking stuff, it doesn't matter as much what I do from that point on. Like, I can still hopefully, you know, increase my income, you know, so you get the ad company to put ads on the website. I can increase my income by, you know, creating more pages, more opportunity for people to find the site, more interlinking, things of that nature. But it should just be able to coast for a long time without me even doing anything. Now, my plan is to keep doing stuff with it and to try to, you know, increase the income that it makes. But, you know, if I have to go on vacation or if I want to take a break to work on a different project, you know, in theory, you could just stop working on it for a month, stop working on it for 2 months, stop working on it for 3 months, and you wouldn't really notice a difference in your income. And so that's this idea of passive income, or you could say residual income, or whatever you want to call it. Now, again, so it's not easy. I'm putting a lot of effort into this, and I mean a lot. So again, so far I'm $356 in the hole, and I have no prospects of earning any income whatsoever for months still. And I'm still committed to it because I'm committed to this idea of short-term sacrifices for long-term prizes. And having a website that makes money without me doing anything is definitely a worthwhile long-term prize. So let's use this podcast as another example. Now, I have multiple reasons for wanting to create this podcast, and one of them is just, you know, I consider myself to be a teacher, and I like to think about things, I like to learn things, I like to teach other people, and the podcast is just kind of a great way to do it. And you know, it's one of those ways where, you know, you get to come listen to it when you want to. And so I don't have to bore all of my friends, you know, by telling them everything that I'm learning and everything that I think they should be doing and all of that kind of stuff. You know, you get to come when you're ready to basically heed the advice that I have to offer. Now, that being said, hopefully I do end up making money from it eventually. So right now I'm using a service called Anchor. And the whole deal is I'm using it because it's the easiest way to create a podcast. That's the main reason. There's also this cool thing where they'll try to find you sponsors, and they found me a few when I first started. But now they're the only sponsor, and they've given me three different ads to read, and so I've read them all. And you know, I went back and I listened to an episode the other day that I recorded, which I hate doing because, like everybody else, I hate the sound of my recorded voice. And the worst part of the episode, though, was the ad break. Oh my gosh, I wanted to bash my head against the wall. It'll be interesting if you're listening to this, you know, way far in the future, if things have changed. But as it stands right now, you know, I've just started up with this podcast a few weeks ago. I started it in 2019, took a long hiatus. Now I've created an editorial calendar for this year, and I'm releasing episodes once a week. But you know, again, right now there's you know, the Anchor lets you put three ad slots on every episode. So I put them on every episode just because, you know, eventually if I get sponsors, you know, I want those episodes to auto-populate with ads so I don't have to go back and do anything. And I got to the part in the episode, I'm listening to it and I'm cringing and I'm hating it and I'm hating myself. And then I hate myself even more because there's three ads and it's all for the same thing. And I'm reading it three different ways. And you know, because this is not a professional production here, it's me talking into my cell phone. There's three wildly different levels of sound quality to all three ads. So if you went through that listening to this episode, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I'm sorry for torturing you. And look, ads are goofy. And again, I don't like ads in general. And, you know, for the user, and it may be in some way, if there's a way of monetizing that is worth it, that gets rid of ads, I'd look to do that. And, you know, I know with podcasts, you know, sponsorships and things of that nature. But the reason you do it is because it's easy, right? It's easy to put ads on. Again, like literally, when it comes to this show, it's like you just click the button. It says add an ad slot here, and then that's it. So it's like the easiest thing in the world. It doesn't make for a good listening experience, and when you're on a website, it doesn't make for a good viewing experience. So eventually, maybe I want to get away from that. But I mean, the podcast too, right? It's this idea of, okay, the ads are on there. I'm not really earning any money. Like, literally, I haven't even earned enough money to cash out yet. Or maybe I have, and I've set a, I can't remember. I might have set a limit for myself of like, because they charge you like transaction fees and stuff. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to cash out until I get to this amount, and I haven't gotten there yet. Even if I technically could cash out. So, anyways, technically, I've made money from this podcast, but really, like I haven't actually made any money. No money has ever seen the light of day, made it to my bank account, any of that kind of thing. And eventually, maybe it will. But this is the kind of thing that, in general, with some of these efforts, you don't make any money at all. Interestingly enough, my successes in what we'll call passive income have happened via virality. So a couple platforms, YouTube and Medium.com. So YouTube for videos and Medium.com for the written word. And the nice thing with both of these is that you can get started without any upfront costs. YouTube is not as nice as it used to be. YouTube is, you need, I can't remember what the requirements are, but there's like a certain amount of subscribers that you need, and there's a certain amount of video watch time that you need. And so it takes a while to be able to monetize. And then the monetization with YouTube is not great. You get like, basically, it's like you get like $2 for every, $2 to $3, I would say, for every thousand views of a video that you get. But I mean, again, you can get started with these things for free, and you can make money, and your viral hits can make quite a lot. So even though the pay on YouTube is not great, I had a video that made over $1,000, which is awesome and crazy. And I mean, it took me a few hours to make, and then, and but the craziest part, again, in terms of this passive income idea, is I'm still getting paid for that video. It's not a lot, but still, it makes money all the time, and I'm done working on it. Like, it's just every now and then I look, and it's like, oh, the video made, $10 this month. Now, $10 is not life changing, but again, the bigger you build these things, and again, my problem has been that I've spread myself thin over a bunch of different projects. I'm trying to bring it back in and create more focus. And my main focus is going to be the website, Money the Simple Way. And so, I want just as little friction as possible between me and publishing something out there. So there's basically three main things that I'm doing right now, and they're sort of prioritized, where number one is the website, moneythesimpleway.com. And so far I've been doing like five articles a week. There's the podcast, where I'm doing like one episode a week. And then there's Medium, which maybe I'll write one or two new things a week, but I'll also start republishing some of the stuff that I post on the website there, to just to, to keep it from getting too much work, to keep me from burning out here. But Medium is the other place where I've received success, and there are months where I've made thousands of dollars on Medium. And again, it's mainly on the strength of, I would say there's about four to five viral articles. So it's a really weird thing on Medium. I think I've written about 200 published posts on Medium over the course of several years. So I think I started posting there in 2017. And really, it's like, I made, it's been pretty decent for a side hustle. I've made, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But really, I think it's like four or five viral posts that account for most of that. So like, the post that I wrote that made the most money made more than $2,000. The one that made the second most amount of money made more than $1,000. And I've written several that, I've made like 500 or 600 or somewhere in that range. So, again, with these platforms, with YouTube and Medium, in my experience, it's been all about the viral hits. But, the more that you invested in it, the more that you publish, the more of a chance that you have of creating viral hits, both just because of the odds of, like, if your odds are one in X of creating something viral, it's like, well, the more that you create, the more likely you are to have that next viral hit. But also, your audience gets bigger. And so, you have more followers. When I started, I had zero. I think on both Medium and YouTube, I maybe have something like 4 or 5,000 followers. So, that's an important thing to think about. I think when it comes to content, because, I mean, content's not the only way to do it. Although content is an interesting way to, the internet is built for content, and the internet can sort of house content for a while. So if you are able to create content that you're able to get in front of people, and there's sort of two main ways to get content in front of people. There's the social media route, and then there's what we'll call the SEO or the search engine optimization route. And you can do this a little bit with YouTube. You certainly can do this with websites and blogs. So one way is build it in such a way that it's conducive for people to find it when they're ready for it, and that's the approach I'm using with the website. The other way is, try to get this to go viral, to have people share it, to get it in front of people that way. And so, ultimately, I think the reason that I'm doing the website over Medium, and I still love Medium, and again, Medium's a real example of passive income for me. Because there have been months where I haven't written anything at all, and I should have been writing something. You got to make hay while the sun shines, they say. But they, there have been months where I've written literally nothing and have made hundreds of dollars. Now, again, the people who have really succeeded on Medium, and I know a lot of them personally. We were going through the same things at the same time. I remember there's this one guy, Michael Thompson, which if you ever spend any time on Medium, you'll come across him. First of all, he's gotten much better than I have, and he's really, sort of found his niche and found his voice and all this kind of stuff. But he and I were starting around the same time, and we were seeing a little bit of success around the same time. But I mean, he really struck while the iron was hot, and we both had a couple of stories that sort of went viral right around the same time, and we were talking about it. And then he just kept publishing more and more and more, where I was kind of paralyzed and was like, oh man, I don't want to hit publish on anything because nothing's going to be as much of a success as that last post was. And so I slowed down my publishing and he didn't. And anyways, now he's, I mean, a superstar on the platform, and I'm really happy for him because boy, does he deserve it. And I will, if you ever spend time on Medium, Michael Thompson's writing is A plus plus. Again, much better than my writing. He's crafted his writing into an art form, and deserves every ounce of success that he got. But so for me, I need to think about somewhat of the same thing about this aspect of focusing. But for you. Or for anybody who's getting started, I do think that before you focus, both focus on a niche, focus on finding your voice, but also before you focus on making any money at all, one of the things that's helpful with content is just getting started publishing content. And not really, you don't have to have a plan initially to start. It's this idea of practicing in public that I think is really powerful. And I think it was Austin Kleon who introduced me to that concept. Is that even the title of one of his books? It might be. It's certainly a concept he introduces. I Steal Like an Artist is the book that I first read by him. I've read a couple of his books. That was the most memorable. Anyways, he's a great author, and he's written some great, really short illustrated little books that are very helpful. And he has this concept of practice in public, and I think that's so powerful. So I think if you're going to think about creating content, and you should, and think about teaching what you know, which again is something you should do, and then eventually think about productizing your knowledge, your ideas, which again I think you should do. The best way to get started is to just get started and is to pick platforms not based on their long-term revenue potential, but based off of how easily they help you find an audience, and most importantly, how little friction they offer between right now, this exact moment, and you getting your idea out into the world. Because listen, there's two sources of friction between you and getting something done. There's internal friction, which is, I don't know, it's psychology, right? It's fear, it's perfectionism, it's all of these kind of things. And as I mean, that's going to be a battle you're going to have to fight. But then there's external friction, which is, depending on how smart you fight, is not a battle that you're going to have to fight very hard. So there's difficult ways of doing things, and there's easier ways of doing things. Medium, right? You sign up, it's free, insanely intuitive editor that you can use to create a blog post and hit publish. And you can even, and again, this should not be the primary concern that you have, but you can even start making money, not a lot of money, mind you, right from the beginning, right? When you just start in anything, remember the master principle. You know, you got to make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. You know, nothing happens immediately, but you can start monetizing right from the beginning, which is rare. So medium.com is something that I definitely recommend. You know, even YouTube, although I'm like, you know, don't have the expectation that you're going to get rich quick off of YouTube. But these are places to start experimenting, to start gathering data, seeing what contents resonate. And by the way, that's what happened with that. So the viral video that I made on YouTube was about journaling. And so this is an interesting story. So I'll share this because it's instructive. So I was actually going to create a very specialized YouTube channel, and I was procrastinating, and I wasn't getting started because I was afraid of YouTube. I was afraid of the whole process of creating video, which I was new to. And what happened was I listened to an episode of the Tim Ferriss podcast where he interviewed Shay Carl. So if you don't know Shay Carl, he was a big, big, big YouTuber, and he founded like a network called Maker Studios and sold it for like $1 billion or $500 million or something. And anyways, the advice that he shared with Tim that stuck with me is like, just commit to making a video every day and just drastically lower your standards for what a video can be. And so just pull out your phone and record something from your day, and that's your vlog, and just post it. And so I posted these god-awful videos to YouTube. I mean, they're so bad that they're just so bad. They still exist. So if you care enough to go find these things, you can, although please don't for my sake. They're really, 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 really bad. Really, really, really bad. But, you know, I was doing it, and of course, nobody cares. Nobody's watching. And so that actually, you know, kind of helps a little bit. But then what happened one day is I'm like, yeah, I'm running out of ideas because I'm like, what do I do? What parts of my day do I share? What's going to be interesting for people? And I remembered that, hey, you know, I just started doing this bullet journaling thing. My wife had wanted to do it, and so I decided to do it with her. And I'm like, well, when I started it, I watched some YouTube videos to see what it was all about. And so what if I create a YouTube video about my journal? And it was a short, you know, I just pulled out my cell phone and hit record. And, you know, every video was getting like, you know, the initial wave of views comes after I first hit publish. And when I say wave of views, I mean like 10 views in a day. That was sort of what my videos were getting. It was like 10 views in a day. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was like 150 that this little short bullet journal video got. And I was like, what the heck? And of course I realized, well, wait a minute, you know, people are searching for bullet journal stuff. And then also, you know, because there are these other bullet journal videos out there, you know, YouTube, a lot of where you get your views from is the suggested video. So it's like, hey, you just watched this bullet journal video. Here's some other bullet journal videos. And you appear in the side pane, or you know, if it's on mobile, it's on the bottom, or just whatever. So I said to myself, that's interesting. There's actually a market for this. Let me create a sort of longer, more comprehensive video. And so I did. And that was the one that blew up. And so, you know, it's important to experiment and to just try things. And then you can learn from what works. And, you know, to some extent, you can say, well, you're not working with a lot of data early on. So there's not much room for insight there. But really there is, because that's what you're looking for, is you're looking for the really unexpected, like the, you know, man, you know, I've been getting 10 views a day and like all of a sudden, bam, this thing gets 150 views. So, you know, it's worth, and again, this sounds like a lot of hard work, because it's like, okay, you got to create this and then you got to pay attention to feedback from, you know, the data, and then you've got to, you know, get better over time, and you've got to, yes, it's difficult. Again, let's go back to the example of my blog. $356 in costs, $0 in revenue, zero prospects for revenue for, you know, 4 more months at least. And, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take a year. Maybe it's going to take 2 years. I don't know. It's exciting. It's scary. It requires a lot of faith to move forward. And in general, I mean, I think courage and faith are underrated keys to making money, right? You got to do things that are kind of awkward, that are kind of embarrassing. You got to put stuff out there. You know, even if you're going the traditional route, right, you got to go on interviews where you don't get the job and you're embarrassed about it. When it comes to, you know, this idea of can you create passive income online and trying to do that, you're going to have to put content out there that bombs. You're just going to have to do that. And you're just going to have faith that, like, listen, if I stick with this stuff long enough, eventually it's going to be worth it. And it's not going to be worth it in the beginning. And, you know, people do things like, you know, they start making a little bit of money and they're like, well, wait a minute, if you calculate the hours, it's like I was technically getting paid below minimum wage. It's like, yeah, but the real prizes are yet to come. You know, you're going to put in the toil and the effort, and you're going to reap the long, slow rewards over time. And so, you know, I think that this idea of passive income, it's way oversold, like I did in the intro to this podcast. That was a satire and a spoof, but still, it's way oversold just online in general. But it is a powerful idea, because it is a good example of this master principle of self-improvement. You make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And, you know, those are the games that I'm trying to play right now. So it remains to see if I'm going to succeed with it. You know, again, I've had sort of mixed successes so far, a mixed bag of, you know, success and failure. But, you know, hopefully I've learned from my mistakes, and hopefully I'm more focused now, because again, that was one of the biggest problems. And so for you too, I mean, you can get started with this, you can make progress over time, but you got to have that long-term mindset. You got to be willing to make short-term sacrifices to win long-term prizes. And you got to just commit to the journey and to getting better, and to love the journey, maybe even more than the destination, which is, you know, maybe another key to living the good life. So we're going to leave it there. Hopefully there was something in this episode that resonated with you, or that was helpful. Again, increasing income is a long-term game. It's difficult however you go about it. We're going to share some other ideas for going about it. That's not like the, you know, sort of sounds like the con artist version of making money. Because I get that this stuff kind of sounds like a scam or something like that. But, you know, it's a real thing that's happened because the internet has been so powerful in automating so many things. And it's important. It's an important part of talking about making more money. So, yeah, make passive income if you can. If not, don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll give you some more options. But that's everything for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.